Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Fungula. We are back with Tony Baker on this episode. Hilarious comedian. You can catch him on tour right now. The Bald Brothers Tour. He's on tour with Kev on Stage. They are both hilarious. You may recognize Tony's voice from the viral animal voiceover videos. He does these hilarious videos. Look them up. They're so good. And he's a hilarious comedian. We get into his gratitudes, his mattitude. He even talks about having gratitude in the midst of tragedy. And we get into it. So you're going to like this episode. Also, I'm on tour as well. Go to my website, angela.com. See when the family reunion tour is coming to a city near you. Get your tickets. You can also be a part of the Fungula podcast by calling and telling us what you're grateful for, what you're mad about, or if you have a question that you want to ask us. You need some advice? Send it in. You can call or leave an email or go to my website. Danielle will give you that information.
Yeah, give us a call at 747-300-5380 or go to angela.com and there's a form there. Or fungulapodcast@gmail.com works just as well.
You have so many ways to reach out to us, you guys. You can also go to Instagram, Twitter, leave us a message, leave a comment, leave us a DM, follow us, do all the things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell everybody why you love the Fungula podcast and spread the word. Tell everyone you know. And for now, enjoy this episode with the hilarious Tony Baker. How long have you guys been doing your Bald Brothers?
So we started Bald Brothers last year. I want to say it's not even a year old, but it could be.
Your show that you guys do together, uh-huh. When you're both on stage and sometimes you post clips of yes. You and Kevin both, and then there's an audience member on stage with you.
Yes.
Is that a tour that coincides with that podcast, or what is that?
Yeah, so this would be the first time. We did the Bald Brothers tour and 2023, but that was just us doing individual sets, you know, one after another.
Sure.
So then we started doing the Bald Brothers show to accompany like the podcast. Okay. So we was doing that at Flappers, locally. Then we went to Nate Jackson's club in Tacoma and did it there. So now this tour would be the first time that we're doing the on stage together simultaneously, where we bring the audience in, and you know,
how's it been going? I mean, it looks hilarious. Every clip
it's a good time.
Post.
It's a good time because we never know what's going to happen.
How do you pick who's coming on stage?
So what we do is we have the questions already set and people can send in their answers and let us know if they're comfortable coming up in advance. So we know in advance. So we'll be like, whatever the topic is. And then we'll bring up Ryan, and Ryan will come up and he'll be like, so you never did this. And then we go from there.
How many people you bring up?
So we do I feel like we do maybe about 5 people a show.
Cool.
Maybe
that's
5.
Fun.
It depends. It also depends on if they give us a lot of real estate to
They're
work
like,
with.
Thank you so much for playing. Bye.
Yeah.
Next.
Some people give us
moving
nothing.
On.
Yeah. So we just play it by ear and be like,
that makes sense.
They gave us nothing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's like, but then we get the bombshell where it's like,
the girl went to prison.
I was in prison for 13 years and we're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's.
That was a wild clip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes. Why were you in prison?
Allegedly. You know, we don't want to assume. But so that way you're guaranteed a fresh show every night.
Uh-huh.
And we just up there freestyling.
And you guys are both so great
outs,
at that.
We do the improvs, whatever. We just take it there.
Love it.
So what happens when you got the mask on? Well, I'm coming in like this.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, so it's fun though.
So it looks fun.
We start that tour September 27th. We start in St. Louis, and then we'll end in L.A. in, like, November.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up 18 years.
Dang.
Over 18 years now, yeah.
Where'd you start?
At the Ha Ha in North Hollywood.
So you're from L.A.?
No. I'm from Chicago originally, but
okay,
I started comedy here
okay,
in
okay.
L.A., yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because it was like, I came out here for acting, as usual.
Uh-huh, right. So did I.
The dream. You know, when you get off the Greyhound bus.
And then
bus,
we still waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're perfect. We've been looking for you. I'm like, oh, I just got off the bus. And then, but you know, the reality is extra work, you know, yeah. taking L's, no, uh-huh. yes. the no, and then yeah. the no again. Your headshots yeah. are crap.
Yeah.
You know, and so, so then, you know, you just start, you know, feeling around, and then it was like, maybe I should try stand up, like, as a way of exposure. You know,
did you always know you were funny, or did you, like?
I denied it. It was like, I grew up funny because we had a funny household, but I'm the youngest of three boys. So they weren't laughing when I would chime in because I'm far in the back.
Oh, you were like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. you try to give them a good one yeah. and they would give you nothing.
Hey, man, get
like,
your little brother out of here, man. It's like, all right, you know. So I didn't feel funny, but when right. I was at school, they're laughing, right. but it's never registering.
Yeah.
Because at home, I'm like, they ain't laughing at home. So I'm uh-huh. dead behind the eyes. And they dying in school. Like, you're funny. I'm like, man, watch out, man.
Your brothers are the one, that audience member that's like this the whole yes. show that you keep trying to crack. You're like, I'll get him. Yeah. Watch. You hit that punchline. You look at him. And you yep. still don't get him. You're like, oh.
Nothing. Whole audience is just uh-huh. dying.
Yep.
Everybody flatlined. Everybody's dead. Uh-huh. But that one dude. Like, uh-huh. like, I bombed last night. What are you talking about? Yeah. There's this one man I couldn't crack.
I couldn't get him.
Why do we do that?
Yeah, why do we do that? And then they come up to you after at the merch booth or wherever, and they're yes. like, hey, great show, loved your show.
No, you
Could
didn't.
You tell your face?
That happened to me.
Your face said other things.
Oh, my God. That happened to me in Vegas one time. I did a show. I looked at him. I looked down at him the whole set. Mm. Gave me nothing after the show. Man, you were funny, man. I was like, man, I watched you. You didn't laugh at nothing. He's like, I'm sorry, man. I had a 16-hour bus ride. You know what I'm saying? This, this, that, and the third. And I was like, oh, all right, you know. So.
And there's another lesson in that, too, that we yeah. never know what somebody else is going through.
Yes.
Or even just, like, what, like, I got RBF. Like, I look a type of way. People sometimes leave me comments, oh, I saw her at Target. She looked mean. And yeah. I'm like, no, it's just my face. Like, it's, okay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's just. And I noticed.
It's just my face.
RBF.
That when I'm on stage uh-huh. and I see one of my pet peeves is. If I see a girl laying her head on her man's shoulder, like she tired like yeah. this, and I'll be like, wake up. Like, you're at my show. Like, what are you even doing? But then I started yeah. to clock that I also did that when I was at shows.
Did you?
Oh.
And so it was a wake up call for me because I was enjoying the show yeah. that I was seeing, but I was just comfortable with right. my man.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay, so let me have grace when I see that girl doing that at my show, right. that she's just cozy with her man. It doesn't mean she's not enjoying herself, you right. know what I mean? But I also fixed it now to where when I'm in the audience, I don't do that anymore because exactly. I don't want to put this artist or this comedian yes. in their head looking mm-hmm. out at me because I'm a fellow artist. So yeah. I'd be like, you know what, let me just sit up. Let me not right. be cozy so you know that I'm here with you.
Yeah, because we don't know. We see no. that and be like, oh, man, she's not feeling this. Uh-huh. She sleep, yeah. you know.
Uh-huh. I, why are you
and
here?
We fall asleep sometimes on good stuff. Like uh-huh. I'm watching good shows all the time. Yes. Man, this is amazing.
Uh huh. That's
I
right.
I fall asleep all the time. And I'm like, man, what did I miss? I fell asleep at the movies yesterday. I made that's it bad. All the way to the end, or highest to lowest. I was enjoying the whole movie, and uh-huh. then I was like, came back. I was like, oh crap. But it was good though.
Manny does the same thing. My husband goes to the movie to take a nap sometimes.
Really? He just
like if he's tired. He's like he didn't get a good night's sleep or whatever. He'd be like, I'm gonna go catch a 1:30 just to take a nap. Like he'll really? Pick a movie that he's not that into because we have the membership, you know, where you can you pay whatever AMC. A month.
Yeah, the and monthly
you,
joint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just go mm-hmm. every single day for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Manny takes advantage of it and he'll go. He'll pick a movie that he's not that into just right. because he wants a good nap. Because really? He knows once the lights go down yeah. and he'll get that like cozy like chair that
recliner. It's super comfortable now.
Oh, yeah. Then
good AC. Like,
oh, my God. The AC yeah. is prime real estate.
It makes sense. Yeah.
yeah.
So you're just in there just nestled.
uh-huh.
And I'm sure once you prop the feet up, man, come on.
Done.
Come on. You got to go to those movie theaters where they shaking the seats yeah. and they spitting on you and then the mist is coming down and dollars are, oh, these are real stripper dollars. Yeah, you get electrocuted like, oh, my God, dead hands are on you. That's the only way to stay up.
Yeah.
But that's some good sleep in the movie theater, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like if you really tap out on the movie, be like, man, forget this movie. And you commit to the sleep. Oh, it's beautiful.
Commit to the sleep.
I'll never forget one time I was watching this movie called Loving. And it was a good movie, but I fell asleep at the very end. They didn't even wake me. I went by myself. I go to by myself to the movies a lot. So yeah. They just were cleaning up the theater, vacuuming, the lights are on. And I'm just like, y'all just had me in here? They were just really like cleaning up, deep clean.
I could have been in cardiac arrest.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to trick on me.
They're like, nah, he's good, man. Keep vacuuming. Get the popcorn. They probably vacuumed my seat. I was like.
Like, maybe, like, lift your legs.
Yeah, they was like, you know what I'm saying? Because once I'm out of here, I'm out of here.
Have you ever missed a part of a movie and then stayed or gone back to, like, see the end of it? Or are you like, I'll catch it when it streams?
Usually I catch it when it streams, unless I really, like, loved it and be like, man, I got to go back up in there. Uh-huh. Like, it was a Marvel movie I went back to see because I had saw it, and then I was like, let me go back. Shang-Chi or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought I just fell asleep for a few minutes. I was like, yo, I missed all of this. I missed all of this. They were like, how long was you asleep? I don't know.
Who's this character?
I thought it was a quick, like, oh, I'm back. No, I missed a lot.
My husband will do the thing where he falls asleep and he comes back. He likes to pretend like he was never asleep.
Yes.
He'll do the thing where he'll be like, no. And you're like, bruh, don't even.
Nothing even happened to warrant that reaction?
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. Like, what? Do you nudge him or do you just let him sleep?
I make fun of him. So okay. I'll pull out the phone. I'm posting him on Instagram. I'm like, here he goes again. And so my husband, he likes to do the thing where we pick a show to watch together.
Okay.
And so if I watch it without him, he's upset or vice versa, whatever. But now it's to the point he falls asleep every episode. Okay. So I'm like, why am I waiting for you to watch this show? Yeah. You fall asleep every episode. So now I watch with my brother and my husband. So it'll be my brother, me and my husband. We're all sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
10 minutes in, I'd be like, okay. And he's just out. And we're not pausing. We're not like, hey, you're missing it. No.
Right.
You catch up on your own time.
Yeah.
You do you.
So has he ever completed the season of anything?
My husband is so interesting in the way he consumes. Mm. He'll have the TV on, his iPad, and his phone, and multitasking all of it.
Right.
And where if I walk away for a second, I'm like, I got to rewind it. I missed it.
Yeah.
But he's like multitasking. He has like this show on.
Yeah.
And he has this movie on in the background. And then he's scrolling. Uh-huh. And I'm like, how are you even
taking in?
Yeah. What are you even doing? And then he's like, nah, I got it. And he could tell you.
Yeah.
That's the kind of student he was too.
Okay.
Like he would just be in school and not pay attention, talking, getting in trouble, and then summa cum laude.
Oh, wow.
He has an interesting brain.
That's crazy.
Not me.
I busted my ass in math to get a C.
Mm. I didn't try. Listen, I don't know how I graduated. I should not have graduated.
Man.
But good for us.
Leave I had to now. Go to summer school one time. You know, it wasn't an easy road academically for me. the only science that I really like, I like biology, but like the only science in college that I really just naturally had a gift in was astronomy. Because I was always into it as a kid. So it was like the stuff I was learning. I'm like, oh, for real? Oh, uh-huh. I was all in. The teacher was like, animated because he also taught theater.
Oh,
I did a play with him. Yeah. So I was like, man, this guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, so nothing was boring.
Were you nerdy or were you cool?
I was like, I was cool.
You were cool?
I think I was cool.
I look at you, I'd be like, you were probably cool. But then part of me, I was like, I wonder if you were a nerd.
I'm a
and then
nerd
you got cool.
Tucked away. Like, you know what I'm saying? The stuff I was into, I'm into comic books.
You give a little bit of nerd. You give a little nerd. I like it.
Big nerd.
Yeah.
When people look at me like, this guy. And I'm like, what are we talking about? Batman's origins?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll go there in a minute. But, like, I usually kept it tucked in. And, like, you know, growing up in high school, we were into hip-hop. So that was always cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we'd just be arguing about Wu-Tang and N.W.A. and, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tupac and Biggie. So we would have those debates, but they didn't know about the secret nerd on the underneath.
Uh-huh. You had to keep that on the
I'm
low
like,
low
yo,
low
man, system. Saturn is, you know, just many miles from Earth.
They're like, hey, that new Tupac? You're like, have you seen what Saturn's up
right,
to, though?
Right, now Saturn has been there before Tupac. You gotta think about that. When Tupac's first album came out, Saturn was about right here. Then, you know, so I was into that low key. Yeah, but I wasn't ashamed. It was just, you just go to school and just try to figure it out. And this is before the social media era where you can find your tribe.
Sure, sure, sure.
Everybody can find their tribe now. Even if it's not at school, you can get on the phone and be like, where are we meeting up at?
So you're into astronomy. What do you feel about astrology?
It's entertaining. I feel like it's more entertainment than anything else, but I'm still a fan of it.
Yeah.
Like I get into it. I look at my Taurus posts and whenever I see like a,
when's
a
your
video.
Birthday?
May 17th.
May 14th.
Yeah. Oh, that's my mom's birthday.
Aww. Yeah. Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, Taurus gang.
That's right. Yeah. Gang gang.
Yeah. What are you?
Cancer.
Okay.
July.
Yeah, I like cancers.
Little crab.
Yeah, full crab. My favorite aunt was a cancer.
Aww.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we're soft on the inside, tough on the outside.
Oh, yeah, crab, crab. That is true.
Beep, 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 beep. You are crab.
Yeah. 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 Cry a lot, but don't mess with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that an air sign or water?
Water.
That's water. Okay.
Water. Yeah. All
right.
So you guys know more about it than I do because I got lost.
I have friends that are super into it, so I learned from
I don't know
them.
The rising moon or the moon rising or the.
I just learned that stuff.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
I just learned that stuff. Like, I got my whole full chart recently, and I was like, I'm a Cancer. One of the main things is a Cancer for me.
Okay.
I forget which one it is. So, but it's like it was like Taurus, Cancer, Taurus, Taurus. The first four. So I'm big Taurus, The Cancer is what I appear to be. It's something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Give cancer? Is that what you're saying? You give cancer? Is
that
what it is?
That's what it is. I think
it's
that.
But I give cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because mine was like, my friends were like, you give off Leo.
Okay.
They're like, oh, you present Leo, but you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a whole. Yeah. I have a friend who like looked, she was like, tell me all your things. Let me review your chart.
Yeah. Where were you born? What time?
Yeah. All the things.
What year?
Yeah.
And then they break it all down.
And then even if you're like, my friend, I could be like, oh, and I'm. This person at work or whoever, like, they're so annoying. And she's like, what's their sign? Let me tell you. Oh, yeah, you guys, you guys naturally.
You're
and I'm like, oh, okay.
You're at odds. Yeah.
Cool.
I've met with an astrologer before, and they read my chart.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. Like, even when they're saying, all right, well, this is in blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what she's saying, but I'm like, okay, but what's going to happen in my career?
Right, right. Get to the career part. Fast forward to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's that
do I get my show?
Yeah.
What moon does that have to show you?
So am I going to have a good Christmas or a bad holiday?
What's Christmas looking like this year, man? Forget all this, man. Get to the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you grow up religious at all?
I grew up, I had to go to church every Sunday. My parents were divorced, but we went to my father's house every weekend. He went to church every weekend.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up at the Methodist church. I never really got super into church.
Uh-huh.
I was like, man, it's boring. That was for the most part, you know what I'm saying? Because it was like, it was just like an old school church. It wasn't like one of those churches now. It's like lively and youthful and like, you know, they breaking the Bible down to where you can digest it in the now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so I was just like, I was just there. And then I went to Vacation Bible School. That was fun. But
VBS.
But then as I got older, my oldest brother converted to Islam. Yeah, and so I was like, ooh, Islam. Huh? And I was thinking, I was like, what's the difference? So I'm asking him the questions. And we just believe in one God, and Jesus was a prophet. And I was just like, okay. And then, so I kind of took to that for a little bit. I stopped eating pork. And then I was like doing my little prayers five times a day. And then I fell off the wagon. And now I'm just like, I don't really trust religions anymore because I feel like humans always put their little motives into the text. So it's hard for me to really trust the word. So, you know, I'm spiritual now. So I just go straight to the source rather than just religion. Yeah. So that's where I'm at now. But I believe in God 100%.
Good. That's cool.
Yeah.
How does first of all, are your parents still with us?
Yes.
Okay. Your dad, you grew up going to church with him. When your brother converted to Islam, did your dad have a hard time with that?
No, it was
interesting.
Because he converted, was this 91? So he was already like 24. He was a grown man. He was in the military. He's in the Air Force. And it was just like, all right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he never really gave us any type of like, you know, resistance. Because I remember I was scared to tell him, you know, I dropped out of college and I'm going for, you know, acting. He was like, all right. You know what I'm saying?
Aww.
Okay. Your school is important. I was like, yeah, but you know, I went too far into a degree that I had no passion for.
Yeah.
I should have just did theater the whole time. Mm.
Yeah.
But I didn't think I would like theater until I did theater on campus for fun. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
I should have did this from the start.
Yeah.
And then, so he was always like pretty like supportive. We didn't really fear like telling him stuff.
That's good.
You know, on that front. So, yeah, he took it well.
How about your mom?
Oh, she was just like, yeah, whatever.
Go for it.
Yeah, whatever. Because she was like, she got in the church like later. I remember she found this one church that she got really into for a little bit. Because my mom, she was kind of going through the motions of like the time, like the 80s. And like she was doing the, what was that, Tina Turner mantra ritual thing, that Namyo Renge Kyo or whatever. Were they doing something in front of the little box? And I was just like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? So she went through that phase. And
she found her tribe.
She found a tribe. And then she found a church that she really liked. And so that made a major impact on her life. And then I think she went spiritual after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, just God, you know, never heavy church going.
I have a question.
Yes.
This just popped in my head as I was listening to you talk.
Mm-hmm.
So you came here for the entertainment industry. You wanted to be an actor.
Yes.
And you started doing stand-up, and you have viral videos, mm-hmm. and your voiceover animal stuff that you do, hilarious.
Thank
like
you.
All these different things.
Uh-huh.
And then now all these other accounts pop up trying to be doing their voiceover, their animal right. voiceovers are like, not the original, but okay. Okay, haha, I guess.
Yeah.
Of all the things that you've done, whether it be in acting or stand up,
mm-hmm.
as artists, we have our own things that we're most proud of. Like,
for sure.
Oh, I got to do that.
Yeah.
What is the thing that your parents, that you think that your parents are like, wow, my son, blah, blah, blah.
You know, I think it's, my mom is extremely proud of me. Like, she supports everything I do. Like everything. Like she's watching every podcast. She'll be watching this. It'll be on the.
Hey, mom.
It'll be on the on the tablet, on the TV. Every interview, every post, all the shows, every special. She supports everything 100%.
Beautiful.
Pops, like, I don't know. Like, I can't, because I don't talk to him as much.
Mm.
So, and I have an interesting parental dynamic that I need to share. But, like, so I felt like they came to see me in Chicago one time. I performed out there. This is my first time headlining in Chicago. It was at Riddles. And my dad and my stepmom came to the show. And they were like, man, you were really funny. I was like, oh, thanks. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, I could see the pride in that moment.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, cool. You know, they support what I do. And I was always nervous because my mom, she don't like a lot of cussing.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And so so growing up, she was like, I don't like all that cussing. And then we was watching a lot of Sinbad together because uh-huh. Sinbad was clean.
Right.
But the other stuff, the Richard Pryor and the Eddie Murphy uh-huh. and the
BC
Damon
Comic
Wayans.
View.
Yeah, she just like, hold on. And so so I was always nervous, like, starting when I started stand-up, I was like, I can't be too filthy because I want my mom to be able to watch me. And, you know, so I kept it PG-13. For the most part. I'll be cussing, but I feel like it slips under the radar.
Sure, yeah.
And so I was always worried about that. But even she pushes through the cussing now. And so I'm just
look
like,
at her go.
She is really supportive.
She is supportive.
Yeah, super supportive. And and so much so that when she sees people that I work with, that I post content with, she starts to follow them and she comments on their page. You're next.
Yes, I can't wait.
She's going to be in your comment section, like, you know what I'm saying? Because so many comedians may be like, man, your mom is so sweet.
Aww. That's my mom to all my friends, too. And then sometimes they'll follow her back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember one time my brother was like, Mom, who's this actor that follows you? It was like, because there was a blue check mark or something. He was like, who's this person that follows you? Like, where are they following you? And it was one of my friends that she started commenting on.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, then I follow her back. And then they comment on my mom's stuff.
Yep. These mothers are coming in hot, man. And you know, comedians, we need that.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You know, I get so many compliments on her in the comment section.
That's That's cool.
Absolutely. So yeah, she's super supportive. So I never had that worry of, you know, the parental pressure of just like, you need to be doing this. Yeah. I'm like, my heart's not in it. Uh-huh. I never had to go through that. Yeah. Thank God, you know. Yeah. So I'm grateful for that. Like, always feel supported in that vein. Especially when I was in college, struggling with classes, changing my major, trying to figure it out, failing chemistry, ecology, genetics, kicking my ass, physics.
And kicking your butt.
Oh, I got kicked down the steps. I failed chemistry twice, doubled up on the F. And then I was like, you know what? Let me change my major again to secondary education, social studies. I can do history class. And so, but all the while, I should have did theater.
Should have went with your heart.
I know. I didn't think I would like theater. I was like, I just want to do TV and film, man. And I was in New Mexico at the time. So I was just like, it wasn't like, at the time, it wasn't like a big hub of shooting. It became that like later on. But like at the time, it was just like, I got to get a degree in something solid.
Real. So I got to do something real.
Yeah, something real. So it was psychology at first. And then that was boring. And then I switched it to secondary education science. And then those classes tore my booty hole open. And then I changed it to social studies, secondary education. Because I was going to be a high school teacher. Uh-huh. High school, middle school.
That was and all of it was for nothing.
It was all for nothing. I dropped out of college two full semesters shy of a degree.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I had to go for it. Because if I would have got the degree, I would have came out to Cali with a job teaching. And then I wouldn't have went as hard. That's I would have just been like, man, I got to grade these papers. Then I'm coaching. And then, you know, I probably never would have tried stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Did you, when you first tried stand-up, were you good? Or are you one of the stories of like, man, I bombed for like the first 9 months. And then like, were you good right away?
I was good from the jump. Like I was terrified when I went up there at the ha-ha that 5 minutes. I was like, okay, it was a success. They was laughing. And then I kept going every day since.
Wow.
Never stopped. The only time I stopped doing stand-up was COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even then, it was like once we got a little foot in the crack of the door, we was back at it.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, yeah. we're doing movie theater shows. We're doing back of the pickup truck shows. Yeah, yeah, let's do it.
We doing whatever we can get our hands on.
Parking
so,
lots.
Yeah. So I never took a break. It was like I finally found something that I have control over for the most part. You know, more so than acting.
Yeah.
And I was just like this. Because I'm getting that feeling of how I felt when I did theater mixed with being creative with my own material and then connecting with that audience front and center. I was just like, damn it. What took me so long? Yeah, because I was like, you know, at that time, 31, I think. And so it was just like, it happened when it was meant to happen.
Good for you.
So fell in love with it. And still, the love of my career life is stand-up. Everything else, you know, acting is cool, but that stand-up, man, gets the juices going.
It's provocative.
It's provocative, man. Gets the people going, man. Because, like, you know what, acting, there's so many other factors involved. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's you, it's the writer, it's the producer, it's the movie studio, how they edit your whole shit, and, like, you know what I'm saying? And so, even though it's dope, you still don't have that much control unless you're the full writer, director, and everything. Like, but I'm not doing all that. And so, but stand up is just like, this is my baby that I created, that I crafted, that I can give to people directly, and then on to the next. And the money's good.
The money's
good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the acting gigs, unless you're a top tier actor. You know, a lot of the acting gigs, you're making
day
less.
Rate.
You're making less than I would make in a weekend in the city.
Yeah, so now it's like, okay, does this opportunity
outweigh
the day rate that I'm going to get? Because I could get more if I just go to a weekend at this comedy club, but what is this project going to do? What is it going to do for? Is it going to move the needle for me?
Right.
Then you have to start looking at like
so
that.
It's like, so it's it's nice too, and I'm grateful for this, that I can just do projects that I want to do if they have a place for me.
Sure.
Like the movie One of Them Days with Kiki and SZA. I was like, yo, I want to be in this. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to a friend of mine, Robin Thede. Uh-huh. And I was like, yo, man, you know the people connected to this. So I was just, you know, just threw it out there. Like, I would love to be in this. And I know Kiki and SZA too, but I didn't want to bother them. Okay. And so they just found a part for me and threw me in. And so even though, you know, the pay was solid, but it was like, I would have made more doing stand-up. Yeah. But it was like, yo, I really want to be in this mm-hmm. movie. So it's like.
Good for you.
Now it's like, you know, I want to be on Abbott Elementary or just to be on shows and movies that I want to be a part of is a great feeling if I can get in there.
Yeah, I've been saying since 2003 that I want to be on Law & Order SVU, and I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for my Law & Order SVU debut.
Have you auditioned for them before?
I've never auditioned. I've met with casting multiple times.
Really?
Yes, I've met with people multiple times, and it just has not happened. Yeah. And then what happens is, like, I'll get on a general meeting mm-hmm. with someone from the show, and you know how general meetings go. Yeah. It's like a, tell me, where are you from? Tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you want to do? Right. Blah, 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 blah. It's that whole thing. Uh-huh. And by the end of whatever conversation, I don't know if it's because I'm, like, naturally funny.
Yeah.
It always goes to, have you thought about this show? And they go to comedy. Oh. And it's like, you can only, like, see me as comedy and comedian. And I'm like, yeah, but no. Like, give me a gun.
Yeah.
I can shoot somebody. Right. Like,
give me a weapon.
Yeah. Give me a weapon. Let's fight. Right. Trust me. I could do it.
Give me something to hide. I can hide that I murdered somebody and I could just. Yeah.
Done.
Try to throw the cops off.
Watch. Look, a tear. It's coming. Right. You see it?
You see it right here.
But
you got,
like,
me dead to rights. I give you the dead to rights eyes. Yeah. And so many comedians do so well in drama.
Yes.
So it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I feel like comedians can always be dramatic, but dramatic actors cannot be funny.
That. All the time. It's like, oh, they're not funny, man. They're forcing it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? But we have transitioned into drama successfully so many times. Mm-hmm. It's like, you still just trying to throw us in the comedy bin?
Yeah. One day.
I know, right? It's still on.
Hey.
It's still going.
We still got another season. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. That show has been on forever.
Yeah, what season is it right now?
26, I think.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, I think it's season 26.
That's crazy.
For a scripted show,
that's
wild.
Insane. Live action?
Yeah. And they reuse a lot of their actors.
Yes.
Stop reusing.
Yeah. Someone will show up and go, wait a minute, they were sent to jail.
Yeah.
Crime, and now they're the lawyer.
Wait, they reuse them like that?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Okay, so.
Yeah. And you're like, hello, I'm a new face. Let me in.
Yeah.
That's wild.
The, okay, now I'm forgetting everybody's name, but who's the DA right now? He used to be detective. Rollins' husband.
Oh, I don't know.
His name's giving me my. Anyway, he was on the show as like an abusive husband or something, and then he comes back as a detective like a season later. Uh-huh. Rollins was on the show before. A lot of actors, and even like some Broadway actors that I've seen are on the show, obviously, because it's New York, you know.
Right,
so
I've
seen like some Broadway actors that I know of on the show multiple times in different roles.
That's,
and I'm like,
crazy. They still don't want to get a new face in there.
Hello. Like, I'm right here.
Like, nah, man, we're going to recycle. Thank you for coming. Yeah, we got a comedy for you.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. I did not know they recycled like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's like a Reddit article or something of like.
That's like tracking all of it.
Everybody
exactly. Somebody's tracked.
Yeah.
Because
that's
there's
crazy.
A lot. There's a lot.
Because I'm sure it's not the only show. I'm sure some of the other
long-running
long-running crime shows.
I feel like you got to be long-running to just be like, you know what, just come on back.
Yeah.
Come on back.
We'll repurpose you.
They just have like a pool. Someone just like reaches their hand in.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, call Steve again.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's so many episodes the audience forgot, or you just coming in on season 18. You didn't see them in season 11.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, and then before streaming, it was like you had no other way to watch it other than wait every week. So you forget.
Well, that's true.
Now you can watch it all in a row, and that's how people are catching it.
That's how you catch
it. I just watched 14 seasons in 2 days.
Man. He just murdered his wife.
Yeah, you're like, wait a minute.
3 seasons ago.
Wait a minute, yeah.
Now he's a trusted DA. That's crazy. How'd he get out?
Yeah.
Now you want answers. You be like, how'd he get out, man? Yeah. Tell me. Because I was talking to somebody recently, like, the dream spot, one of the dream roles for me would be, like, voiceover for an animated show. and to be on a long running, because I was talking about The Simpsons in particular, it's been on since 90. And so when you think about those the main core of voice actors, you know what I'm saying, making a great living. Mm-hmm. They've been doing job security since 1990. Yeah. And then Bart Simpson can be in Trader Joe's next to you and you wouldn't even recognize him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because you'd be like, hey, no, excuse me. That's Bart Simpson. Uh-huh. That's a woman also.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the dream. Because you can still go to Whole Foods. Like, I would recognize, like, Marge and Homer, the actors. I would recognize them. And Hank Azaria, I would recognize them. But, like, Bart Simpson would slip past me.
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, wait a minute, is that? Nah, I'm tripping. But they, you know, world famous, but it's, like, just the voice. And I'm like, man, that's the... That's the life.
Excuse me, sir. Can you just say really quickly, feed him a line? You're like,
right. Dough.
Yeah.
Say dough right now. Say dough. Like, come on, man. Dough. I knew it.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Take the picture. But they've been working steadily for, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
So that would be a dream role for you.
For sure. Like to do like voiceover for, because I can just show up in my slides, just be in there, you know, because I did like, I've done some like animation and it was great, you know, and I was like, man, this, I was almost in Transformers one time.
No way.
The latest one, the Beast Wars one, they had me come in and do scratch work. So I was the voice of like Mirage. And that's what they show, you know, the studio heads.
Yeah. But
I think they already had an actor in mind.
Sure.
Because Pete Davidson had the role.
Oh, okay.
So they just had me do the scratch work. And I was like, man, if they could just keep me in there. But it was still like a dream come true to be like, to hear my voice as an Autobot. And I was like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I've done scratch work before.
Man.
And it's like you walk in and you're
almost like. It's like a demo, right? Like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just for internal use.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yep.
So showing for approval, for studio execs, for whoever, for even for finishing out the animation, you know? So, but I've done scratch work before.
Man.
And you're like, and you really liked it, right, guys? It was pretty good, huh?
Right. Yeah. You know, you might want to just sprinkle me in.
Why take the time to find someone else?
Why fix something that isn't broke?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about? I'm already here.
Right. Man. But it was just like a surreal experience because it was like, man, this is one of the dreams. Because I grew up on Transformers. So it was like, this is amazing.
What's another dream of yours?
My main dreams growing up were, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an actor in movies, in TV.
What's a dream of yours today?
Now today the dream is, I want to be able to sell out a show without doing a lot of promo.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to be like, I'll be in Cleveland this weekend and it sells out like that.
Yeah.
That's the dream now. Yeah. Where I don't have to keep making the posts and you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Because even a sellout is a sellout.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
But it's just the work I have to do on the promo side. I just be like, can y'all just sell it out quick?
Yep.
So that's the dream where it's just like, yo, I'll be in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sails out like that.
Yeah.
So that's the new dream now. And then, do I dream about anything else? That's really it because, you know, because I realized that, you know, I've reached the goals that I wanted to reach in terms of career. Yeah. And it was just like, because, you know, one of my biggest fears was not being able to do what I love to do for a living. And so that was always my biggest fear. I always knew I would find love and, like, you know, that type of stuff was never like, man, I hope I can find, you know, I was like, hey, I'll find somebody. But, like, the career was the real iffy part that really got to me. And so it was just like, man, I hope I find something I love to do and I can, you know, make a living at it. And so once I reached that, I was just like. So then you get another goal later on down the line. So now my goal is sell out quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the current goal.
And then where I'm at, sometimes in certain markets that happens, and then in other markets, it's back to radio promo, 6 a.m.
Man.
Full back. Let me tell you.
Oh.
And then it'll get frustrating. I get spoiled. I get where, like, I can sell out. I throw up my shows in Texas.
Yes.
Boom, boom, boom. Done. Gone.
Texas,
honey,
is great, by the way.
Thank you. Love Texas.
Texas pulls up.
Let me tell you, we love you, Texas.
Big fans.
Big fans over here. Man. Texas, sell out. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And then my next run that we're going on starting October, we're doing the Northeast and the Midwest, okay, which are my weakest markets.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
When I tell you, I have radio starting at 6 a.m. every 15 minutes calling a different radio station until sometimes 11 a.m. Back to back to back to back. And then it's the same questions. Some every now and then you'll get a breath of fresh air,
right,
radio morning host that has some like original questions, and you're like having fun with this conversation, and it feels like a conversation.
Yeah.
And then for the most part, it's the same. So you were a Raiderette. Tell us about the Oakland Raiders when you were a Raiderette. And I was like, cool, cool, cool. 2003.
Yeah.
A lot has happened since then.
Right, right.
But still, till this day, like, that's one of the number one questions I get asked every radio interview. So I have to have, like, my go-to, like, Raiders jokes on hand, ready to go. But it's, like, even still now where I can, like, sell out immediately upon going on sale in this market, there's always that one.
There's always that Syracuse.
There's always Pittsburgh.
There's always that Kansas City, man. Kansas City, you know,
what are y'all
it's
doing?
Like, and then, you know, you get on those radio shows with they have no clue what you do. So what do you talk about on stage?
Yeah, yeah.
God, man, I just talk about life. And you know, I just hate those questions. I'm just like, oh, man, I try to avoid press as much as possible. But then sometimes you got to do it, man.
You have to.
Yeah. So it's just like, oh, God.
Well, here, let me tell you one thing about it, though. Being that this is a podcast about gratitude, which we'll jump into some of your gratitudes.
Yes.
And a mattitude. We need to get one mattitude from you. Mm-hmm. But one thing, when I have these back-to-back morning radio junkets, sometimes I'll get anxiety, like, leading up to them. Like, oh, my God, here we go.
Yeah.
I got to wake up and just go, go, go.
Right.
There's something about when I'm on hold and they're finishing whatever they were just talking about before coming to me on the line, it's this nostalgia that I hear when I'm listening to a radio voice. I don't even know this particular person because he's over there in Des Moines.
Right.
But it's a radio voice. You know what I mean?
Yep. Like, I know
so
that
you
voice.
Know it. Yeah, you grew up with a radio voice. And you grew up with them saying, we're going to be at highs of 70s today and the lows of 62, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
There's something that's like nostalgic that makes me feel like warm and grateful inside that I get to be part of this moment.
Yeah.
And then I get really present in the moment and I'm like, I'm grateful. And so as soon as they go to on the line, we have comedian, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden it's like a little breath of fresh air.
Right.
And it's like a different version of me when he's asking me the same robotic questions.
Yes.
And then sometimes it's just like, here we go again. This is number seven of today.
Rare,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Tell us about that one.
Yeah.
And I get it because it's like, you know, we grew up listening to the radio and there's somebody listening to that same program with you. Yeah. And it's just like, and then in the future, they'll be like, I can't believe I'm here now on the other side. So I get that for
somebody driving in traffic listening to my voice right now, a part of their morning commute.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, there's something special about it. Something
is special.
I want to get into your gratitudes, a couple of gratitudes that you have in your life, which you already mentioned throughout this conversation, you know, being grateful that your parents didn't pressure you and things like that. But before we do, let's get into a mattitude. Tell me something that annoys you, that gets on your nerves, that makes you mad. What's that thing that you could be like, ugh?
Oh, God. There's so many things that annoy me because, you know what I'm saying? I feel like earth signs, we're pretty like, I'm not feeling this. You know what I'm saying? Like, because your birthday is the same day as my mom's, man. My mom is just like, I'm not feeling this. We should be having a little thing. I don't like all the cussing. And like, you know, she has her, for me, like, so it's so many things that annoy me. But like, here recently, I don't like passive aggressive texts. Because if you give me the passive aggressive energy, I'm going to take the fake niceness that you just gave me and respond to that with the niceness. Like somebody told me, like, good luck. And I was like, thanks. And then just left it at that. Thank you.
Thank
like,
you so much.
You got a lot of nerves just saying thank you. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not a fan of just like the passive aggressive, enjoy your night, be blessed, have a nice day. When you know they're pissed and you know they don't mean it, I'm just like, don't give me that.
Yeah.
If you're mad at me in the
tell
moment,
me you're mad.
Tell me to piss off.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Kiss my ass, Tony Baker. I'm like, oh, tell me how you really feel. So I'm not a fan of that passive. Because like if I'm mad at somebody, I'm not going to give you the fake, you know what I'm saying? Enjoy your night.
You'll know.
I'm just like, I'm sick of you right now. You know what I'm saying? I've never felt you. I've never felt your whole face. You know what I'm saying? And so... so that's pretty much the fresh mattitude. It's stuff like that. Like, you know, say what you mean.
Yeah.
Don't give me the...
they're like beating around the bush, kind of skirting.
I know you're mad. You just cussed me out for a paragraph, and now you're like, enjoy your night. Come, come on. Really?
Yeah.
I'm not enjoying my night now. My stomach hurts. My stomach hurts from what you just said. So it's like, so it's like that. So it's just like, no, just say what you mean. If you're pissed off, sit in the piss off. Once I see the fake, be blessed. You don't mean that. You didn't pray for me.
You didn't pray for me.
You don't want me to be blessed that, right now.
That wasn't from the Holy Spirit.
Right. Where's Jesus at?
Not
so,
here.
Yeah. So it's like, so that's probably like a mattitude right now that I can think of.
Can you read us the text? I'm just kidding.
Pull it right up. And then change the voice.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm learning now that certain things come off to Gen Z as passive aggressive in text that are not like for millennials, I guess. Yeah. One is using punctuation, I guess is rude.
Oh, what?
Yeah, like
what do you mean?
Using a period at the end of your sentence.
Like, now like, it's aggressive.
Oh, she's mad at me.
Yeah. And you're like, no, I'm just really good at grammar.
Yeah, no, I'm educated.
What? A period is really?
Yes. Like that's using grammar. Insane.
That's crazy.
Using
crazy.
So you just going to
comma me out here? The commas? That's what we doing?
Yeah.
Wow. The semicolon?
Oh.
Wow.
Now you're fighting.
That's
now
how you fighting. Really feel. You know what? Yeah. Be blessed. You know? Be blessed. Enjoy your night. Like, come on, man. A question mark with the exclamation on the back end? That's crazy.
I'm out. We're breaking
up. Period? I always get confused on the generation. So the millennials were born in 2000?
No, I'm 1990 and I'm millennial. And I'm like central.
I'm
like peak
I'm
millennial.
82.
Yeah, I think it was like 80s 81. To like, I think it's like 81 to like 96 or something.
That's millennial.
Millennials,
What's Z?
Gen Z, I think, started in like 97, 98 and goes to like 2000 something.
Oh, so Gen Z is after millennial.
Yes.
Gen Z is the current 20s. In their 20s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What generation are we in now?
Well, how old? Well, no. Hold on.
I don't think it works like that.
No. I'm a millennial like, forever.
Yeah, we're millennials forever.
But what's this current generation considered?
So it's the generation that were, there's Gen Alpha is after Gen Z, I believe.
Yes, like Rosie's Gen, your daughter's Gen Alpha.
Yeah, so my daughter, who's 2,
okay,
is Gen Alpha.
Wow, so we started over.
We start, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
The beginning.
But the current, like, trendsetters, like the young ones that are, like,
moving and shaking.
The college, the new into the workforce, whatever.
These ones, these are all Gen Z, the new young adults.
Okay.
So like when we, I mean, I don't know how old you are.
So I'm 48. So I'm X.
Am I? Oh yeah, X? You're X. You're Gen X. Generation my sister Gen X. You guys are Gen X. Wait, no, my sister, she's 79. Yeah, she's Gen X.
Okay.
So I lost my train of thought, but Gen Z is like the new hip cools.
Yeah, they're
right
the
now.
Ones that are trying to tell us what's cool and what's not cool.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
But soon. They're going to be the new millennials, so to speak, where alpha is going to be telling
like,
them.
Right,
you know what
guys.
I mean?
Yeah. Right. No periods in the text
messages.
That's
right. That's right. That's right.
Matter of fact, we're not even texting no more.
Yeah.
We're just thinking.
This is how old we are. Thinking. We couldn't even figure out this whole generational thing. Yeah, we're just like, you know what? It's just...
I got to look at the list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What are our options?
Right. Like, where do we fall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the older people, like boomers still think millennials are the young ones. And millennials are going like, hey, we're actually in our 40s now.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going on either.
Yeah, yeah.
So the boomers are after... They're boomers World War II, right?
Yeah, boomers are the old ones.
Boomers are our parents.
So my parent, my mom and dad are probably boomers.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah,
probably.
Okay. Yeah. Because then before
that. Above boomer, I don't even know.
I think the greatest generation. The greatest. Was that before World War II?
I think so.
That's what they're called, the greatest generation.
Yeah. I think so, or something like that. Or the silent generation.
Yeah, it was like greatest generation, the silent generation, the baby boomers, then I think Gen X.
Gen X.
Oh.
And then millennials. Okay. And I have a boomer and a Gen X, boomer dad, Gen X mom.
Okay.
Is what I have.
Your mom is Gen X?
Okay, they're both like cuspers. Like my dad was like the last year of the boomers, and my mom was the first of Gen X. Gotcha. Yeah.
He was robbing the cradle.
Yeah, you're right. Young.
He was robbing the generational cradle over here.
Okay, Coach.
I sometimes think he's Gen X, but then he'll say things, and I'm like, it's very boomer of you. Interesting.
That's that leans crazy. Boomer.
Yeah.
Boomers.
Yeah.
You boomers, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you have a lot to be grateful in your life, from your career to your family to everything. Whether it's something from childhood to something that happened to you yesterday, give me a couple of things. Give me one thing first. We'll start with one at a time.
Okay.
Something that you're grateful for in your life.
I'm grateful for a great family. Like, super grateful for that. Like, I just visited my mom in New Mexico, and my middle brother, Scott, he lives there too. So, you know, I was with them all week. And so... My mom, she lives by herself, and she lives about maybe 7 minutes from Scott, and so I'm going back and forth between houses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just treat me well. They treat me like I'm a guest. Oh. You good? You could turn the TV on. What you hungry? They're super attentive. I'm like, yo, man, I'm your son. Just, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to do this. And, like, same with my brother. Like, you hungry? He cooking for me? Like, you know, he had the whole, like... food agenda set.
Aww.
He was like, because it was my nephew's birthday, I want to say maybe Wednesday. It was the 13th of August. And so, all right, we're going to go out for Pharaoh's birthday. So we went to Chili's. Mm. Now, you know, I'm 100% vegetarian, mostly vegan. Mm. And so my options were slim.
Yeah.
With Chili's in Clovis, New Mexico. So I was just like.
Real slim over there.
Yeah, big slim. So I just got mashed potatoes and broccoli. But but it was like so after that night, and he was just like, all right, so I got it mapped out. So I'm gonna make you that tofu bowl that you say you be eating. So he was asking me what you put in it, because normally I get like the kale, the sweet potatoes, the roasted tofu. So he tried to recapture that.
That's very special.
Then he was like, all right, then the next day we gonna do breakfast for dinner. And so we're a big breakfast for dinner family. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so breakfast for dinner. So he made waffles. He was asking, what y'all want, pancakes or waffles? We was like, waffles. So we had waffles, and he made me a Just Egg. That's like the vegan egg joint. Mm-hmm. Tore that up. And then he was like, and then Saturday we doing the Filipino type, you know, some pancit, some
love
egg rolls.
Pancit. Oh, pancit bihon is my favorite.
Oh, my God. I love Filipino food.
Uh-huh.
And so he was just that, you know, that type of stuff right
so
there.
Thoughtful.
It's just like, man, this is really dope. And like, you know, I always feel good when I go home to family, because I feel like I can take my foot off the gas.
Yeah.
It's in a small town in New Mexico, so it's not a lot to do. So I can just relax my brain and just, I feel like the little brother again. I feel like the youngest. And so I can just coast for that week.
Yeah. And how often do you get to go home and be with him?
So, this was my first time. Last time I went out there was last May in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, 2020. Yep. Yeah. So, I went out there for my birthday, Mother's Day type of, you know, week. We just celebrated it all. And then Scott's birthday is May 22nd. So, I was just out there for them. And I went out there I was able to give my mom a great birthday gift. It was like, you know, I paid off her house.
Wow.
And so that was the best. That was like the best day ever for me. So I was grateful for
that.
Tell
us about that.
That's another grateful.
Tell us about
so that. So I went out there and I was like, yo, how much you got left on the house? And she was like, I don't know. So she dug up the mail from the bank. Wow. I was like, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't think she was going to accept. Because, you know, my mom would be like, no, don't worry about me. You know, so mm-hmm. I was like, and at this time, I haven't, you know, I've never bought a house. I've never done anything like that. So it was just like, I was like, you know what I'm saying? I want to pay your house. Oh, you ain't got to do all that. And then she was like, all right, thank you. You know, oh, mm-hmm. Lord, my heart's beating fast. And aww. I was just like, and so, and it was on my birthday that I was able to do it. And so, because I was like giving gifts to the family on my birthday. And it's like, this ain't how it works. And I was like, just let me do this. And so, so that was like the greatest feeling ever for me. And I was just like, man, this is fantastic. So that was the last time I had been out there. And then I came back out this August to just, you know, hang with them again. So, because I've been trying to travel more, you know, I usually just be in the house. And so, but yeah, I was super grateful to be able to do that. And, you know, that's like the dream to be able to, like, you know, buy your mom a house or, you know, whatever, provide for your family.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, that was wonderful. That's beautiful. Super grateful for that. And then I bought my first house like not shortly thereafter, like September.
Congrats.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for that.
Look at that.
You know, bought my first house finally because I was terrified. Uh-huh. I'm like, man, buying a house seems so complicated and scary and the commitment. And so my ex-girlfriend, she was in the real estate and she was like, yo, you really should think about getting a house and that way you can pass it down to Sincere, my son. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then my friend Robin, who she's owned several houses and, you know, she sold them. She randomly sent me like a house in Tarzana, I think, that had a basement. Because she knows I'm a fan of basements. And you know, in Cali, you're not going to get no basement.
No, we got earthquakes.
Right. And so, but I'm from the Midwest, so we grew up with basements in every home. Mm-hmm. So I just looked at that, and I'm like, man, let me go look at it for kicks. So I went and looked at it, and then that just got the ball rolling. And then I would say 3 weeks later, I was like, I found a house in Santa Clarita near where I was renting a house. Mm-hmm. And it's an area where I always walk through that I really like. And so I was like, all right. And then I just.
You did it.
I did it.
Congrats.
Yeah. So, yeah. So super grateful for that. And I did it doing what I love to do. So it was just like.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many people get to say that?
Right. And so it's just like, man, you know, I just stand in that house and I'm just like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Me just saying stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Provided this. And it was like, and I was able to, you know, do remodeling in it and just make it my own. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I was super grateful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Me just saying stuff.
It's provided this.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
It's like the way you say stuff. When I was telling you, Manny and I went to go see your show in Nashville, and we loved it.
Did he stay awake?
Yeah, he stayed awake for your show. He stayed awake for your show. He did. But we loved it.
Yeah.
And I was telling you after the show, like how you perceive things and communicate them to other people. So it's like your point of view is so specific and silly on such a mundane thing that you're able to highlight these super mundane things and give them a personality and give them a character and give us as an audience member different eyes to see this thing in our own life that we all deal with every day.
Right.
And it's a very special and unique thing that you do with your stand-up and your storytelling, and you're so good at saying things.
Yeah.
So I get why you're able to buy your house from saying things.
Thank you. Yeah, because it's always been like, for me, comedically, I've always wanted to be, you know, easy to follow, easy to get. And so but about stuff that interests me. So like, mm-hmm. even though it's the most mundane stuff, I'm talking about cats for 30 minutes. And it's just like, you know, I just want to, you know, break it all the way down to the bone marrow. Just like, you know, being scared of being yeah. in the house by myself. And like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I'm just, you know, you hear a noise and somebody has to be accountable for the noise. Uh-huh. When you live by yourself, like, who made that noise? Uh-huh. Me and I'm here. The cats are here looking at me. What was that? And so... take you through all of those things that I think about, and it's like, you know, and I always want to connect, but I don't want to get too, you know, far-fetched. I was never really into politics like that, mm-hmm. comedically, mm-hmm. and so it was always just like talking about my life, my experiences, and my observations within my life and around it. And so, because, you know, my influences are Sinbad, Damon Wayans, and Jerry Seinfeld. So those three make up like the comedic nucleus of me, yeah. like, you know, the energy of Sinbad, the storytelling and like, you know, go into character real quick of Damon Wayans, and then the picking apart of basic shit like Jerry Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. And so those three just come together.
That's great.
Yeah. And so
I think that's also why you're so good at these animal voiceover videos, mm-hmm. because you're able to give a voice and a perspective to this thing.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. To where like only you can do that. Like all of us can be like, oh, I wonder what this bear is thinking in this right. moment. But then you give it a detailed personality and yeah. perspective and point of view and trauma. You give this bear backstory. And like, it's so funny
yeah,
because it's your perspective and yeah. how you can like yeah. infuse that into a toilet when you talk about
yeah.
flushing the toilets and right. like all the things that you do with your storytelling and your comedy. And it's so funny. Do you have a favorite animal video that you've done?
Ooh, that's tough. I got like favorites. I don't have a favorite. One is like, there's this one where it's like a goat. They're randomly at this park or whatever, but there's a tiger that they're looking at. And so the video opens up, the girls are looking at the tiger. And so there's a goat next to the window,
uh-huh.
just right up on them.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, oh, the goat. And so when I look at them, they're looking at the tiger. So I'm the goat now. And he's like, y'all see that tiger? Y'all looking at that tiger, huh? And then they pan down and he's like, his teeth are like really like, he's just showing his teeth. You see it? And so I just made him uh-huh. just talk like that. Y'all here for that tiger, huh? And then, because they pan down, and he's just like, you see it? And then, so that one is a really fun one. Another one involved some donkeys, I think. And they were really trying to get through this wooden fence. And they were just like, man, I'm trying to get my neck through it. So it was like two of them really just trying uh-huh. to piece it together. And so I don't know, maybe I can come in. You know, maybe I can come in from the side. No, you're going to get stuck like that. You know, I got soft ankles, man, so I can't jump over the top. And so, and then there's this black donkey that comes up and just bites off the bottom part. And then he just walks right in. Uh-huh. Oh, I never knew. And then they start going through. Uh-huh. That's another one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites is this gorilla. He's just beating on his chest and just harassing everybody within the compound. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I just made him Gerald the gorilla. I'm the one. So every time uh-huh. he beats his chest, I'm the one that's doing this. And uh-huh. so he's just harassing everybody. And so those are like some of the standouts for yeah. me. Yeah.
Did any of those videos surprise you that went viral?
You know what's funny about going viral? It's been voiceovers that I've done where I'm like, oh, I'm going to kill them with this one. Uh-huh. And then they just be like, eh. And then it's like certain ones I just be like, I don't even know if I really nailed this one. And then that one goes crazy. Uh-huh. And so it's like I can never predict
yeah.
what's really going to pop. Like the first yeah. one that ever went viral, because when I started doing voiceovers, this was like 2013.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like my first, because it was random. It was like, because I've always, you know, there was no wave then of like voiceovers of animals back then. I'm sure somebody did it, but it wasn't like a wave.
Sure.
And so I'm just genuinely interested in what animals are thinking about, because we grew up with pets my whole life. We always had cats. We had dogs, ferrets, lizards, parrots. So it was always like, what are you thinking about? Even to this day, my cats, I'm like, what are you thinking about in this moment? And so I've always had a genuine interest in that. And so there was this goat in Brazil. This is the first voiceover I ever did. It was a YouTube video of a goat in Brazil just harassing the shit out of these people. He was just like, he was ramming his head on the motorcycle, and the people like, get out of here. And he's like, yeah, he got a bell on his neck. You get on out of here with your fancy motorcycle. And then then he sees this lady with a bag of groceries. He comes over and knocks her over, and then this dude tries to save her, and he, oh, you the hero, huh? And so he chasing him around the tree. He got the bell on, so I was like, what is he saying? So that was the first one I ever did. I put it on my little YouTube page, and then I did another one shortly thereafter. Of it was a raccoon eating out of the cat food dish. And so it was like, it was a bunch of cats in there, and they just looking at the raccoon like, whose man's is it? He's just like, y'all don't be doing this, because he was taking the cat food and he would dip it in the water and then eat it. He wouldn't eat it dry. He was like, man, y'all don't be doing this? Y'all don't be getting it wet? Y'all get to get y'all in on this. And the cats are just like, yo, what's up with your man, man? And he's just like, and so he was doing that for a while, and then I guess he sees the person holding the camera, so he's just like, you know what, man, let me get the hell on up out of here. And then, but he goes back for one last scoop, and then he runs off like on his back legs. He's just running off with the final scoop. And I'm like, y'all be good, praise God, man. And that was the first one that just took off like crazy.
Wow.
And so I was like, let me just keep doing this. And I had a friend of mine named Nick Carthen. He passed away. He was just like, he kept telling me, yo, repost that raccoon video. Repost that raccoon. This is before it went viral. Just repost it, man. And I was just like, why? He's like, it's funny, man. And then I reposted it, and then it just went crazy. Wow. And so that's what made me be like, let me just do these.
Yeah.
Because I was going to do like a show with Marlon Wayans. He had like a company that he had started called What the Funny, and they were looking for, you know, content for it. And I was like, yo, I showed him those two videos. And he was like, oh yeah, take them off YouTube. Let's do something with that. And so that never failed. That never materialized. Right. So I just went back to doing it on social media, and then good I just kept it going.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Give me one more gratitude from your life.
One more gratitude. I'm grateful for, I know it sounds like, you know, cookie cutter, but just like, I'm grateful for health. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really big on health and like going to get checked up and like blood work. And I got my first colonoscopy last year. And so I'm just grateful because, you know, you take your health for granted until you're down for the count.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when nothing else matters but that health. And so I'm always trying to live in the space of gratitude in terms of I can walk, I can go to the gym, I can lift weights, I can walk 5 miles, I can jog, my voice works, you know, my right ear is kind of raggedy, but I can hear, I can see, I can taste, I can smell, you know, I'm always getting stuff investigated on my body. Like I just got a mole looked at on my ear. I was like, man, take a look at that. I don't trust it. And that came back normal. Like, you know what I'm saying? The colonoscopy went fine. Great. And it was just like the prostate exam was good.
Good.
The blood works are good. And so look, it's always like, I'm super grateful for the health. And like, you know, cause health insurance is expensive when you pay for it yourself.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to get your money's worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to. I'm going in there. I'm like, hey, man.
What's my deductible?
Exactly.
I'll see you on Tuesday.
Man, I'm paying all this money. Y'all going to check me out. Mm-hmm. I'm coming up in here, no bottoms on.
I'm ready.
Go in there. You know, give me the full physical, man. I feel like they're cutting corners on the physical.
You look good. You'll be fine.
Nah, man. Why am I still dressed in the physical?
Yeah, test me.
Mm-hmm. I need to be in the booty out gown. You need to be grabbing my balls. You ain't touched them yet. What's going on?
What happened to the little knee thing we used to do when we were kids?
That at? I haven't done that in super long.
I know.
How you know my reflexes are good or not, man? And so, but the gratitude of, and you know, we lose family members, we lose people that we know, and they're young, and like, you know, so you know, I'm always grateful for just the health. And like, you know, I try to eat right, and you know, watch how I eat, watch what I take in, drink plenty of water.
How long you been vegetarian?
So I've been vegetarian over 8 years now.
Wow. What made you make that switch?
I felt sorry for animals. Mm. And so it was like, I always wanted to be vegetarian for a long time. Not always, but for a long time. I gave up the pork in 91 because of the Islam thing. Uh-huh. I never went back to pork, but I was always just like, I know I could not kill animals myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I would look at a cow and look at those eyelashes and be like, nah, I can't do this. You know
I can't
saying?
Eat no hamburger.
But when you're like, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like deer or just like rabbit. And I'm just like, how are we? And the pigs. And you know, I couldn't do it myself. So I felt like a coward at the grocery store looking at the cold cuts and slices. And I'm just like, yeah, you can disassociate. But then, you know, as I got older and I'm just eating chicken off the bone. And I'm just like, this was walking around, man. He was walking on these bones. And so you get in your head, I need the boneless chicken. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then I was just like, and I have a friend, her name is Meg, and she was always doing something. She was always like, I'm not doing this for 3 months, or I'm not doing this for 30 days. I was like, what you doing right now? I'm not eating meat until Valentine's Day. And this was like January 2017. I was like, I'll do it with you. Never went back.
You called her and be like, hey, what are we doing? What's our new?
what are we doing this month? And so that was the catalyst I needed to be like, all right, I'll do it with you. Never went back.
Wow.
Yeah, never went back. And then I slowly started going more vegan. And then I ended up in a relationship with a vegan like late in that same year. Uh-huh. So I was introduced to all kind of, you know, foods and recipes and stuff like that. So I was like, all right. Because she was big vegan. She was like, she was down to the, I'm not wearing nothing.
Oh, wow. No leather. I don't wear leather, clothes and stuff. Wow.
Big vegan. So so I was able to experience a lot through that. And so, yeah. So now I'm primarily mostly vegan most of the time. But, you know, I'll be having my little cookie craving. You know, it might be some milk chocolate in there. Or, you know, some butters. Some eggs might be in there. But as far as like, eating animals, done. Wow. Yeah, I'm not going back.
What's your favorite meal now?
Oh, my favorite meal now. I love biscuits. I'm a biscuit head.
So you make your own biscuit?
I haven't made my own yet.
Oh, so where do you get then vegan biscuits with no butter?
So sometimes I get the butter.
Oh,
that's why
I can't.
That's why I can't claim vegan. You know, but okay. If they got the vegan butter, even better.
Okay.
I'm a biscuit head, and like when I go to the South. Like, I was just in Charlotte, and they got Bojangles, and they got the biscuits at Bojangles.
I love a Bojangle biscuit.
Oh, my God, that Bowberry biscuit was just... And I'm a fan of Cracker Barrel's pancakes and biscuits, and...
You're speaking her Southern language
right
now.
Oh, my God, you know what I'm saying? Biscuit me out. I was in Dallas. I went to a place that had a great biscuit. I forget the name of it, but it was just tremendous.
Was it the Biscuit Bar?
Yes.
Ooh. I'm from Dallas.
No. Oh. The Biscuit
I know the Biscuit Bar.
Bar. I was like, oh, my God. So I'm big on, like, biscuits and, like, I love a good smoothie. I'm a smoothie head, biscuit head. I don't eat waffles and pancakes and French toast as much as I used to. Because I just try to not fully just slut myself out in that regard. But I love that stuff. Like, that's the stuff that I'm just like, oh, my God, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to love tacos back when I was still eating meat. Like, we would have Taco Tuesdays and, like, so I'm still a fan of that. But I don't really like to eat the Beyond Meat and the Impossible Meats.
Right.
So it's like the best vegan meat type thing is when it's like mushroom base and they can get it to where it's like a really like grounded.
Yeah.
I've had mushroom burgers like that. And like, you know, when they do the taco meat like that, it's amazing.
Have you ever had the, they make it like carnitas. I forget with jackfruit carnitas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a good vegan place that serves like tacos and stuff is, it's out here called, oh my God, why am I blanking on the name? Oh, it's in Reseda.
Well, Well, there's a vegan taco place right here down the street.
What's it called?
I forget the name of it, but I'll look it up and I'll tell you before we leave.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe I'm forgetting the name. But they have amazing, like, they have, you can get the pollo, the carne asada. It's all vegan, but to get the pollo, the carne asada, the carnitas, though. Mm-hmm. That one, it's got a little sweetness on it. Oh, so good. But I don't even know, you know, what it's made from.
I know. I was like, what
probably
is it?
Probably jackfruit.
Jackfruit is for usually sure what? If it's ever like a shredded.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that shredded, pulled.
Yeah, that's usually jackfruit.
Type of vibe, that's usually the jackfruit.
They usually have that, what is it? The soy riso?
Yeah.
Chorizo.
I'm a fan of like tofu.
I like tofu.
Like firm, extra firm tofu seasoned right, I'm all in.
I mean, it's like you can make it taste however you want. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm a fan. I made it last two nights. I made it at home.
When I was first starting with my dental issues and I couldn't like chew down, I went and got some tofu and I was like, all right, let me just do different marinades. Let me just, you know, like sear it up, make it breaded. Now I'm like trying to do all the different things with tofu because I couldn't chew.
All right. Can you chew now?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's one of my attitudes these days is I've been having some dental issues since May.
Oh, wow.
I had a crown put on. I didn't even need the crown. I'm convinced. He said I did. I have no way to prove it, but I have a feeling I didn't even need it. And it's just giving me problems ever since. I've been to the dentist probably like at this point, maybe 13, 14 times since May. Mm-hmm. It's been awful.
Oh, but that's my attitude for sure.
That's, yeah, that's my attitude. but these are some really great gratefuls.
Yeah.
Thank you for.
I try to move in gratitude all the time. Like you know, I'm very good at like taking in the moment as it's happening. I'm like, man, this is. Man, I'm having a good time. Like you know, I'm that guy to be like, man, this is great. Like,
yeah.
I went to the Sequoia National Forest. A couple weeks ago, you know, it's about almost 3 hours up in Cali. And, you know, when you're in the forest and the trees are 2,200 years old, and you're just like, man,
it's crazy.
This is crazy. Yeah. this tree was around when Jesus was here. Don't look around, you know what I'm saying? So I try to be mindful of like taking in like moments like that where it's just like, you know, look at how far you've come.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, gratitude and gratefulness is really like something I always try to keep at the forefront. You know, when you find yourself complaining and then you'd be like, but look at, you know what I'm saying? At least you were able to afford the dentist bill.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're right.
I think you're a excellent example of that in being able to be honest with your feelings and processing of what you're going through and still being able to find gratitude given tragedy that's happened in your life been very honest and open with.
Even in that, I found some gratitude within that. So for those that don't know, I lost my oldest son in 2021 in a car accident. And so me and my ex-wife, his mom, we were having a conversation like this is deep in ground zero where it's just fresh. And she was just like, man, I'm just grateful that, you know, if we had to lose him, that we didn't have to pull the plug or like if he was in the vegetative state and we had to make the decision on pulling the plug or just like he didn't suffer long. It was just like, so even in that, we were just like, yeah, because I couldn't imagine being in that situation where we have to make the decision.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, then to see your child suffering like that is just, we didn't have to go through that.
Right.
And then the other gratitude on that side of it is like, because a lot of people ask me, like, how do you get through life like that? And I'm just like, because I had a great relationship with my son. Mm-hmm. That's the key point in losing somebody like that, knowing that he left here, knowing that we loved him and he loved us and we were on good standing. There was no resentment on anything. There was no beef. There was none of that. And so that keeps me afloat. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, man, we were good.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine, like, when you lose somebody, because we all go through those moments of like, oh, did they know I loved them? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you got the regret and like, I never got a chance to say, I don't have to deal with that. And so, you know, our last words were, I love you too. So it was like, that right there is the main key. So I'm always grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, once you lose somebody, there's no take backs. There's no negotiation. There's no refund. Right. There's no do over. So you have to take the loss. So within that, I was just able to find when Cherie pointed out the one thing that we didn't have to see him in that state. And then with me thinking about our relationship, I was like, man, I'm grateful for that. So even within tragedy, you can still find some gratitude. Yeah.
And if you can do it in that steepest loss situation, like that's inspiring to anybody listening going through whatever they may be going through. And even feeling maybe even guilty for finding gratitude. You know what I mean? Like, there, I'm sure there has to be some sort of, am I allowed to even feel grateful in in these other, you know, situations. But thank you for sharing that.
Everybody, I'm always down for that. Like, you know, I'm always down to talk about my son, and like, because you never, you never want your loved one to become like, what's his name on Harry Potter? Voldemort. You never want your loved one to become the name that should not be mentioned. You know what I mean? And so I'm always down to talk about him. You know, I feel bad for y'all more than anything, because it's like, I don't want y'all to get sad, you know, because I'm always down. I'm ready, you know, and I never fight waves of emotion or grief. It's like when the waves hit me, I just take it. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then I just cry. And like, I had a wavy day, not yesterday. What's today?
Wednesday.
I had a wavy day Monday, and I was watching the movie, and like, you know, the main character's son got kidnapped, so I just got a wave, and I was like, oh, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm always down to talk about them and share my experiences, because like I said, like, and I was looking at a post from Regina King, who lost her son.
I saw that.
And she was talking about, you know, she wants his name to, you know, live on. And so I feel like that's important when you lose a loved one. Don't tuck them away to where, you know, they get forgotten or they can't be mentioned, because then nobody's talking about them. And then, you know, that's when they're really gone. So I'm always down.
What was your son's name?
Serene.
Serene.
Serene Baker. Yep. And my youngest is Sincere Baker. He lives in San Francisco.
Oh, okay, he's in the Bay.
Yeah, he went to USF up there, graduated, and he's like, I'm going to stay up here, Dad. I was like, look at you.
Okay, grown up.
Grown up, staying in one of the most expensive cities in America. Okay. Yeah.
So, okay, a challenge.
So I was super proud of him, though, because it's like, that's scary to go off on your own, especially in a city like San Francisco. And so, but he's up there. He's got his roommates. They all work at the same restaurant. It's like a little high-end restaurant up the street, and he's a host there, and he also edits and does color for videos.
Very cool. Nice.
Music videos, short films, documentaries, so I'm super proud of him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
So, Serene and Sincere, man, they was two peas in a pod, close together in age. Serene was born January 2000. Sincere was born September 2001.
Oh, wow. Very close.
Yeah. Super close.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. Good guy, man. Always been proud of them. And Sincere is funny. He's one of those kids that he doesn't ask for a lot. You know, I remember when I used to take him school shopping. I'm like, what do you need? And he's like, I don't really see anything. Like, he's very particular about what he wears. So, he's not just grabbing stuff off the shelf. So he'd be like, I like this particular shirt right here. And he's got his own style. And like, you know, I'm grateful to have kids that were just like good kids, like kids. Because, you know, with family, you don't always like your family. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you love them because they're family. But you'd be like, oh, here they come. You know what I'm saying? So I was grateful that I had sons that I actually not only loved but liked. And was like, you know, I like these guys. And like, we would hang out together. And it's just like, y'all are a good time. And so I'm grateful for that type of relationship with the kiddos.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, he's a good guy, man.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Tony, thank you so much for coming and
of course
sitting down.
I'm sorry I fumbled on the last.
No worries. I wasn't going to put you on blast.
The last schedule.
But since
I
you
fumbled.
Brought it up.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I forgot. I got a doctor's appointment. Oh, I felt terrible. But here we are.
Here we are. We made it
I'm
work.
I'm grateful that you was able to bring me back.
Definitely.
And I know I was on your matitude.
You're so dumb. It worked out. It all worked out. Everything works out.
Beautiful.
But I'm grateful for you being here. Thank you for sharing some of your life with us, your story with us, your gratitude. And I'm grateful for you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Absolutely.